Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Americans who visit China seeking orange chicken, beef with broccoli, or egg foo young are in for hungry disappointment because all those dishes, along with many others so common in the U.S., are Chinese-American creations. The good news is that St. Louis has plenty of restaurants that serve them. There's also a history to local Chinese eating establishments that goes beyond the plate. Magdalene Link is an assistant librarian and curatorial assistant at the Missouri Historical Society, and she joins us now to share just a bit of that STL Chinese restaurant history out of a presentation she's giving tomorrow at the Missouri History Museum. Magdalene, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Great, thank you for having me.
So provide us a little bit of an overview of what tomorrow's program at the History Museum is going to cover.
Sure. So the title of the program is A History of Chinese Restaurants in St. Louis, and it will kind of start by giving kind of a brief overview of, the Chinese population in St. Louis and kind of how it grew, and then focusing on the Chinatown that used to exist in downtown St. Louis. And then from there, I'm going to branch out and tell the stories of a few different restaurants that were located both downtown and throughout the St. Louis area that kind of helped to, I think, bring to light the story of Chinese cuisine and Chinese American cuisine in the St. Louis area. Mm-hmm. So it is by no means going to include everything because that's not possible. But hopefully definitely will tell some stories that people are unfamiliar with.
Mm-hmm. And I did note that it is a history and not the history. So there's plenty to cover just a little bit tomorrow. Now, how is this program connected to the Missouri Historical Society's Chinese American Collecting Initiative, Magdalene?
So it's connected, quite directly, just in that it is going to focus on the history of Chinese restaurants in the area. But our Chinese American Collecting Initiative is a really exciting initiative that we have. We have some community partners that we work with. And we've, over the last few years, we've been able to collect some very exciting items through that initiative, especially things like menus, some of which you'll be able to see during the presentation tomorrow. But it's been a really great way for us to connect with the community. We've done a lot of programming during the course of the year. And we've also done a lot of blog posts as well that we've published on our website. And we've had both internal staff members and interns and volunteers write them, but we've also worked with some outside partners who have areas of expertise in the Chinese American community to share their stories and experiences as well.
Mm-hmm. What was the inspiration for this lunch hour-ish program that will be taking place tomorrow?
So initially, this all kind of started a few years ago. I was asked to write a blog post for our website that just talked about some forgotten restaurants from downtown. And one of the restaurants I ended up researching was a restaurant called The Orient. And it was not located in Chinatown, but just outside of it. And The Orient was kind of the starting point for a lot of my research interest. And eventually this expanded into a larger presentation that I actually did at the Missouri Botanical Gardens as part of their Chinese Cultural Festival back in May. So this is an encore of that presentation. But it's a pretty exciting opportunity, like I said, to share some of these, stories and, that people are perhaps more familiar with than they believe in some instances, and in other instances, things that, people have no idea about.
Mm-hmm. And the restaurant, The Orient, is that one that you had known about before, or was it through the research you were doing that you came to learn of it?
Right. So The Orient, it was not a restaurant that I was familiar with initially. up until a few years ago, even though I've done a lot of research about, you know, foodways and food history in St. Louis, it was kind of all new to me. But then in researching that restaurant, it just, you know, there were so many stories that could have been told just from that one restaurant. You know, the owner himself, Joe Lynn, was a really impressive individual. You know, he did all kinds of work, not just in the restaurant industry, but for the Chinese community. So it's a really, it really kind of sparked my interest research-wise, certainly. And, you know, just finding that there was one restaurant that had so much more to tell us about this community was really quite exciting.
Mm-hmm. And we'll be sure to come back to that. Something that I'm wondering about, you said that you are a foodie, someone who loves to eat, but tell us a little bit more about your personal interest in Chinese restaurants in particular.
So I will say, so a couple different branches of that. One part of it is that, you know, in working for the Historical Society, we're always looking to tell lesser known stories. And so whenever I come across a story or a little bit of history that I've never heard about before, that's always really exciting because, you know, it's not possible for everyone to know everything. So it's always really exciting to find something that you weren't expecting to find. But on a personal level, I've just always been one of those people who has had, you know, I grew up eating a lot of different types of food. You know, my mother at one point was good friends with the owner of the restaurant Hunan Wok, which was in Brentwood for many years. And, you know, that was a place that we frequented as children for special occasions and all sorts of things. And then, you know, my kind of love of Chinese food really kind of followed me through the years. I had one of my favorite Chinese restaurants cater my high school graduation party, coincidentally. and, you know, since then, during the pandemic, I learned how to make hand-pulled noodles. So I really kind of went all in with my passion for Chinese cuisine.
Okay, that's quite a commitment to make those noodles yourself.
I had a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. We also want to invite you to this conversation. How was Chinese American food introduced to you? Do you have go-to dishes? And what restaurants, past or present, have been your favorites? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-TALK, or send an email to talk@stlpr.org. So, Magdalene, I actually put out a call on social media to get some engagement going for this segment. And one of the things that people mentioned is some of their favorite places. And Rich responded with a restaurant called China Garden on Gravois at Loughborough. And one of the questions I also had asked had to do with how long ago it was that people had had Chinese food, and then how long ago they had had apple pie. And I understand that's also something that you ask in your presentations.
Yeah, I you know, it's one of those things I like to, when I give food presentations, I like to give people a little extra thing to think about after they leave. And, you know, so often, you know, we have a saying, you know, as American as apple pie, you know, people are always thinking about American food as being hot dogs and apple pie and, you know, and that's all fine and good. But I like to ask people, I'm like, well, when was the last time you actually ate that? And when was the last time you had Chinese food or Vietnamese food or Mexican food or any other type of cuisine? Mm-hmm. And usually their answer is, oh, well, I had that last week and I had apple pie like 6 months ago at a party,
right.
at a cookout over the summer. So it's definitely, I think, forces people or helps people to realize that, you know, just because something is seen as or promoted as foreign or as othering or something like that, that at this point in time, it is an integral part of American culture.
Mm-hmm. Courtney had also responded on Facebook and said that the last time she had apple pie was Thanksgiving last year. And to the point that you've made, the last time she had Chinese food was just 3 months ago. So your point is one that's definitely well taken. Now, Magdalene, you mentioned the Orient, which is a restaurant that many people may not know, either because they haven't lived in St. Louis long enough, they could be transplants, or just not old enough to remember it. What are some of the other restaurants that you'll be focusing on in your presentation tomorrow?
Sure. So one of them is called the Canton Tea Garden, and that one was located originally in Grand Center, and then eventually they opened up a secondary location that was downtown, kind of in the heart of the shopping district. And what's really fascinating about that restaurant is that the owner then went on to open another restaurant called the Shanghai Cafe, which is one of the oldest, if not the oldest Chinese restaurant, or was the oldest Chinese restaurant in St. Louis County. And his son eventually went on to open his restaurant further out in St. Louis County. It was a restaurant called Chu Hua. And Chu Hua's was out on Olive in Olivet. It's actually where Taikei Shabu Shabu is today. And then I kind of circle back and talk about a place called the Peach Garden, which was also in Grand Center, but on Olive. And it was kind of next to a theater. And the owner was also really involved in the import business and had a tea company, a tea import company as well. And then I do touch briefly on the Asia Cafe, which was owned by the Leong family and was the last remaining restaurant in St. Louis's Chinatown before it was torn down.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the dishes that people are familiar with locally as well as across the country, the Orient, which was that first restaurant you mentioned, was called Orient Chop Suey Restaurant. For those who are not familiar with what chop suey is, what is in that dish and what made it something that people here in St. Louis were happy to eat?
So I think chop suey is a really interesting was a really interesting intro point for a lot of people, because ultimately it's just a bunch of chopped up vegetables and a protein. A lot of times restaurants would make it using some, you know, traditional ingredients, you know, including things maybe like bean sprouts. But a lot of times they used produce that was, you know, that people would already recognize, you know, things like carrots and celery and, you know, bean sprout or not bean sprouts, but, you know, snap peas or sugar peas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everyone knows what chicken looks like. So it was one of those things where it was, you know, people could, you know, American audiences could easily identify those ingredients. And then they saw them all cooked together in a different way. And that was, you know, it kind of invited them in. And, you know, they, I think once people got in on something that they recognized, that it, you know, eventually evolved from there. But the other thing that's really interesting is that a lot of the really early Chinese restaurants, so early 20th century, early to mid 20th century, I guess, they also had on their menus American dishes. You know, they would offer things like the Orient offered a Thanksgiving dinner every year. You know, there were Chinese restaurants that offered American dishes as well. So perhaps if you weren't quite feeling adventurous, but your friends were, you all could still go out to eat. And, you know, the people who wanted to try a new cuisine could, and, you know, the people who didn't necessarily want to could stick to something that was, you know, even more familiar to them.
Mm-hmm. So at least the opportunity was there to try something new if you wanted.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
We need to take a quick break, but I want to remind you that we want to invite you to this conversation. How was Chinese American food introduced to you? And do you have favorite restaurants, past or present, that you would like to talk with us about? Give us a call at 314-382-8255. That's 314-382-8222-TALK, or send an email to talk@stlpr.org. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with Magdalene Link. Magdalene is an assistant librarian and curatorial assistant at the Missouri Historical Society, and we're talking today about a history of Chinese restaurants in St. Louis and what that reflects about the way our tastes have changed along with the community that we live in. Now, Magdalene, before the break, we were talking about Chop Suey, the Orient restaurant. And one of the things that you had mentioned earlier on in the conversation is that there was something more to these restaurants than the food that they served. Can you talk with us a little bit more about that and what role restaurants played, especially for Chinese immigrant communities?
Sure. So a lot of the restaurants, especially the ones in the really early days that were located in St. Louis's Chinatown, catered to both American audiences, but also to the Chinese community. The restaurant, the Asia Cafe, also had a really extensive and expansive import business. They also, I believe, grew bean sprouts. They imported, you know, items that people couldn't get elsewhere. And we know from oral histories and other stories that we have uncovered that, you know, they reached not only student, you know, people in the St. Louis area, but they were reaching, you know, college students who were as far away as, you know, Columbia that were attending Mizzou. And they would come to St. Louis occasionally to pick up things to take back with them so that they could make dishes that they, you know, wanted to have or that they missed. The other thing is that there was a really strong business merchants association called the Aulne Liang. And it had a really strong membership. They did a lot of fundraising, not only for their own community, but, you know, during war times, they led war bond efforts. They, you know, promoted rationing. They, you know, it was really, they were trying to be as supportive of both, you know, their own Chinese community, but also the, you know, community of St. Louis. And, you know, certainly during wartime, the war effort as well. And two of the restaurants that I mentioned, the Orient and the Shanghai Cafe, both of the owners of those restaurants were referred to during their lifetimes as the mayor of St. Louis's Chinatown. When Joe Lin, who owned the Orient, died, there was a massive funeral procession that followed. There was, you know, it was just enormous and went from his, it stopped in front of the restaurant before it proceeded to the cemetery. So these were really big, important people. I believe that when Joe Lin died, they did his service first in Mandarin and then they did it in English. So it was really, these were really important individuals, you know, who were not just, you know, they had a restaurant, but they were doing a lot more for their community during their lifetime.
Now, one of the things that is also so interesting about these restaurants is what they reflect about who was here and at what time. And a 2016 Time magazine article notes that changes to American immigration policy in 1965 actually brought arrivals from Hong Kong, Taiwan, and the mainland, and they brought with them different kinds of regional dishes that Americans were not familiar with and were different from the Chinese-American food that was made up until that time. Is that something that has also been reflected here in St. Louis, maybe with the menus that you have seen through the Chinese-American Collecting Initiative?
Yeah, absolutely. So we know for a fact that the first immigrant, Chinese immigrant to St. Louis came in around 1870, and there was one person. And by the time you got to 1930, there were around 350 Chinese immigrants living in St. Louis. Initially, it was also only men who were over at first, and then women didn't come over until later. And with that, obviously, there were a lot of changes. So up until, I believe, like the 1970s, 1980s, you could really only find Cantonese food in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. There were not really any other types of Chinese cuisine represented. It was Chinese American and Cantonese. But that very quickly changed. And now you can pretty much find any regional cuisine you want to, which is pretty astounding that that happened so quickly. You know, certainly within the last 40, 50 years, the fact that you went from only having one type of cuisine represented to being able to find almost any dish you could possibly want, or any ingredient you could possibly want, is kind of, that's remarkable, really. And that's incredibly quickly that that happened.
And even in the last 10 years, I've seen quite a development in the kinds of Chinese cuisine that are available here. And in the social media call out I did, a few of the restaurants that people mentioned were Chili Spot and Kate Zone, which specialize in Sichuan cuisine, as well as Tai Kei, which you mentioned earlier in the spot of one of those former restaurants, a second location, or one of the locations of the Shanghai Cafe. Tai Kei specializes in Taiwanese food. Do you think that this has to do just with the broadening of American palates generally, and how easy it is to get information? Is it about, you know, who now lives here in St. Louis?
I think it's certainly both. You know, I think we absolutely, you know, the Chinese population has, you know, exploded, you know, in the past few decades. And anytime you have large, you know, first, second, third generation immigrant groups, you also get, you know, a lot of grocery stores that are willing to import items for these people so that they can make food that they, you know, grew up with or that they used to make when they lived back in China. And it's so easy nowadays to get any, almost any ingredient you could want for a dish you can get. It's just knowing the right place to look for it. But I also think that, you know, certainly American palates have changed over time. I think, you know, certainly for better, I think more and more people are willing to try, you know, different kinds of cuisines, different kinds of dishes, you know, not always to the, you know, some of them still remain very niche. You know, I don't know that American audiences at large are really, you know, well prepared for Sichuan cuisine, because that takes a certain kind of understanding of, you know, how spices work and, you know, being able to appreciate the nuance of that. But, you know, certainly with, you know, I think it's just people are much more willing to try things. And I think a lot of it also has to do with, you know, popular culture, you know, shows, you know, like Anthony Bourdain did, you know, so, you know, and other travel shows and, you know, people on social media traveling or promoting certain restaurants, you know, food influencers, that sort of thing of like encouraging people to try something new or, you know, that's just, we didn't have that, you know, 50 years ago, but we do now. And it's, I think, really changed the food landscape for sure.
And as we wrap up here, you are going to be giving this presentation tomorrow at the Missouri History Museum. And you noted before that you have done presentations similar to it at different places, including the Missouri Botanical Garden back in May. What is it that people seem to be most excited about learning? Do they have any common questions or ones that have caused you to kind of go in another direction in your own research?
I think that, you know, what was really interesting about when I first developed this presentation was that it was the first time, so I gave the presentation in the food demo kitchen, and it was the first time that they had had a food presentation that did not involve a cooking demonstration of some kind. So they really weren't sure how it was going to go. But both days, it was standing room only. I had someone come back the second day and bring family members with them that couldn't come the first day. And I also had primarily Chinese audience for those presentations, which was really interesting to me because, you know, those are, you know, people who I think some of them didn't know that we had, you know, people told us that they didn't know we collected this stuff at the Historical Society. And I had people who were thankful that I had done, you know, some of this research. And while, you know, the vast majority of the audience, you know, that I present to doesn't have any memory of these restaurants because a lot of them have been closed for, you know, 60, 70 years. I think people still find it really kind of inspiring. And it kind of, you know, it's affirming that they have been in St. Louis and that these people have been welcome for as long as they have been, and that they've been able to kind of pass down generational wealth, and that, you know, if they've been able to have really great experiences, not only in, you know, St. Louis, but in the metro area, certainly. Mm-hmm. I think that's really kind of a special thing.
Well, it sounds like an appetizing program and one that leaves you a lot of food for thought as well. Magdalene Link is Assistant Librarian and Curatorial Assistant at the Missouri Historical Society. Magdalene, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
This episode was produced by Elaine Chaw.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.